Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Clever Girls Know podcast. This is Bola Shokumbi. I'm the founder and CEO of Clever Girl Finance. The Clever Girls Know podcast is a podcast for women, offering a space for conversations around personal finance, business, life, and living. I'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast, and you can do that everywhere you listen to your podcast episodes. And if you love what you listen to, head on over to iTunes and leave a review so that other amazing women just like you can find this podcast as well. I'd also love for you to stop by clevergirlfinance.com. We have new content on the blog multiple times a week. We have over 30 plus free courses. Plus, when you sign up for a course, you can talk to a Clever Girl Finance mentor for free to get encouragement, motivation, or if you just want to have an open, no shame, no judgment girl talk. Finally, check out our YouTube channel. Just search Clever Girl Finance on YouTube. And if you don't already follow us on Instagram, you can find us at Clever Girl Finance. Okay, so let's get into today's episode. Hey, Norley.
Hi, Bola. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Welcome to the Clever Girls Know podcast. I am so excited to speak to you, to share your amazing story, your planning journey of how you are parallel planning your early retirement alongside your mom's retirement. That is so cool. And I can't wait to hear more about what you're doing, why you decided this, your process. But before we dive in, please tell everybody who you are and what you do.
I'm Norley. I am from Brooklyn, New York, but my family is from Haiti. Came here in the early 90s. And right now I work as a corporate and capital markets attorney in a New York law firm. So I'm a true New Yorker. I've been here since I was born and still here now.
I love that. And you reminded me that you and I actually met in person, because I can't see your face as we're recording right now, but you and I, we did meet in person. You were at my book launch in 2022 for Choosing to Prosper. You're so pretty. You had on a gorgeous dress. So thank you for being there, for supporting me. And I'm so glad that you're now sharing your own financial story with other amazing women. So I would love for you to start by explaining that whole idea of parallel planning your retirement. How are you and your mom going on this journey together? Explain what that means.
So basically, we're just making sure that when we retire, we're able to do it at around the same time, but we have different strategies. So with me, primarily, I'm in my mid-30s. I've been focusing more on investing as much money as I can in my retirement accounts, in my brokerage accounts. I've been investing 50 to 70% of my salary. I invest 50 to 60% of my bonus, and basically reaching my retirement number, which is the number that I can live on for the rest of my life, at a 3 to 4% drawdown. But with my mom, who's in her 50s, it's a little different. She's sort of getting to the age of 65. She knows what she has in terms of pension. We kind of guesstimated what she would have in terms of Social Security, what she would have in her retirement accounts. So her plan is actively getting rid of all debt so that she could comfortably live on her retirement account. So with her plan specifically, it's been an aggressive debt pay down in terms of we paid off her car, we paid off her nursing loan. She's a loan. She's a nurse. And we're working on paying off her mortgage in 4 years before she retires. So we're just doing it at the same time, but different strategies.
I love this so much. So your focus is on investing, accelerating your investing so that you can retire early and have that retirement number, which we'll talk about in a second. And then your mom is paying down debt so that she can basically go into retirement with what she has saved and invested and not worry about a mortgage or, you know, any debt whatsoever. So are you planning to basically, is this like a same like year timeline where you both want to retire? Are you working towards the same year?
We're working. So let me be completely clear. Like, I want to be able to retire. I want to have the choice.
The option, yes.
The option to push the button. But my mom is actually retiring, but wanted to happen around the same time, targeting early 40s for me, and she's targeting mid 60s, and she's in her late 50s now. So I want to have the option to retire in my early 40s, and she will actively be retired 64, 65. That's the plan that I'm working on.
Yeah. That's so good. And, you know, one thing I always tell people is that, you know, retirement is not a day. And most people who retire don't retire and just sit on their couch and watch TV all day long. A lot of retirees end up in passion projects, second careers, doing dream work, you know, traveling, that kind of stuff. You're not just sitting around doing nothing. So it's almost like you are both going to be starting a new phase of your lives together on your own terms, because now you have the option not to work, not to do a business, not to do any of that, because you have the money in the bank. And your mom is like will be fully enjoying the years that she has put into working to be able to retire. So I do love that. I love the idea of giving yourself options. I'm all about that. And even if it's not, for those of you listening, pursuing an early retirement, right? It could be just having a good amount of money in the bank, minimizing your debt so that if you need to walk away from a job or a situation that does not serve you, guess what? You have that option. So I love that. So I want to ask you, when did you decide that you want to retire early? What made you say, you know what, I want to retire in my early 40s, early retirement, FIRE. And if you don't mind sharing, what is your retirement number?
My retirement number as of right now is 1.6 million. Mm-hmm. So I decided this around 2019, 2020. I really got into listening to podcasts such as yours and Jamila Safran's during the launch.
And yes, I love Jamila.
He's the one that invited me to your book launch. He's like, come see Bola. I was like, oh.
He's so good. Shout out to Journey to Launch. You have to check out that podcast. She also has a book out as well. Please support her. We love her.
Yes, I bought the book. I'm in the book. So I basically was thinking about it in 2019, 2020. And then I just started consuming, like, I've listened to every one of your podcasts. I've listened to every one of Jamila's podcasts. And I follow this other Instagram personality, personal finance club. I think his name is Jeremy Schneider. And I started just listening to what you all were saying. And I was like, okay, I saw that there was like a formula, and I'm an attorney in a law firm, which makes, you know, a pretty sizable salary. And I was like, hey, I can actually do this. I can accelerate based on what I'm making, because I was hearing stories of people that had done it making less than I did. And I was like, I'm actually going to commit to this, because I was so motivated by what I was hearing. And especially in 2020, when things were virtually unstable, no one knew what was going on. People were losing jobs left and right. The economy was closed down. I was like, you really have to have options, because this was a once in a lifetime event. And if you weren't prepared for it, or if a job just cut you off, especially like Black women who were losing their jobs at alarming rates, it was a really, really scary time. So that sort of really accelerated my purpose. And I was like, I need to make sure that while I'm working, I'm saving and I'm trying to become financially independent, because you just honestly never know. And I never want to be in a position I'm so scared about what's happening. It was just such a scary time that I just wanted to really try to control that for my future.
Yeah. And it's so good that you got to that realization. And I think it's so important for, especially us as women, to get to that realization of like really being clear on why we need to save, why we need to secure ourselves financially, because that in itself, getting to that realization, is a motivator. And it's what's going to help you stay focused on taking that action to keep investing, to keep saving, to, you know, for me, it was just growing up and watching my mom's friends. I'm sure since you've listened to the podcast, you know this story, but if you're new, my mom's friends coming to the house and saying, I have nowhere to go tonight. Can me and my kids spend the night here, because my husband is beating me because I'm in a abusive relationship and I cannot leave. And I was like, I have no money. They were like, I have no money. And in my mind, as a little kid, I'm like, wow, it terrified me. I was so afraid. I'm like, how can you be in a situation where you have no options? And even though as a kid, I didn't fully comprehend what was happening, I saw my mom create financial security for herself based on what she saw was happening with her friends. And that just, for me, that was the realization. I just don't ever want to be in a position where I can't create an option for myself, whether it's walking away from a job, whether it's retiring early, whether it's walking away from a relationship. Having that option for us as women is so important. Everybody's reason why will be different, but it's important that you get clear on that reason. So if you're listening to this and you've heard Norlie's reason why, you've heard mine, and you're not sure, take some time out to just sit down and think through, like, what is my why to build wealth, to secure myself financially, to pursue early retirement, to pay off all my debt, whatever that financial goal you have is, you want to have a why that backs it up so that you can just stay motivated, especially when things get tough, to want to keep working on your goal. So Norlie, I want to talk to you about your day-to-day and your current spending, because you're aggressively pursuing this early retirement in a few years from now, right? And you're planning, you're investing like crazy, you're saving, like, I think you said 70% of your income?
Yes, 50, yeah, yes. It's so, alternated, but between 50 and 70.
How is this, from when you decided, okay, this is what I want to do for me now, how has this impacted your lifestyle and your spending habits? Did you have any challenges? Was it easy peasy? Talk me through it.
So it's affected my spending habits because I'm basically living on the salary that I was making since 2018. So I only live on 50% of my salary. My salary has grown exponentially over the last 6 years, and not much has changed. There wasn't much of a fluctuation in my rent. Also, because during the pandemic, I live like in a luxury building. They offered a significant rent decrease because a lot of people were moving out because, like we know, a lot of people lost jobs. So for 2 years from 2020 to literally 2022, my rent was reduced by like $1,000. So I'm basically living on the same salary I lived on 2018. My expenses haven't changed. I'm in the same studio. I do not have a car. I'm still paying off my student loans. I pay them off. I've doubled like the monthly payment. And then I use my bonuses to pay them off at the top of every year. And I don't eat a lot outside. I have reduced my grocery budget though, because I was going to like this Whole Foods in my neighborhood. And I found a Trader Joe's and that changed my life.
Oh, Trader Joe's. Listen, it's so good. I love Trader Joe's. Listen, I love Trader Joe's.
Yes. So that's one thing that I've reduced greatly. Like my budget pre-2022 for groceries was like $400. With Trader Joe's, I got it down to $100. So that's really what I've done. But I will say I'm not a total monk. I'm not just here in the studio watching Netflix and not doing anything, not eating takeout. I always portion out some of my bonus to travel. So I've traveled very, 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 very extensively, even though while I've been doing this, because I picked one thing, because I think about what people love to do in life. And it's usually like, you know, some people love eating out, some people love shopping, some people love traveling. And I was like, what brings me the most joy that I do not want to cut back as I'm embarking on this journey? So I will say that I do save a significant portion of my bonus, or I sometimes get a tax refund. And I've gone all over the world within the past 4 years on that. So that's basically what I'm doing.
That's fantastic. You're planning to live your best life while you're living your best life now. And what really stands out to me about what you said is that you just really prioritize what truly makes you happy, and that's travel. And you figured out how to pursue your goal of paying off your student loans, investing aggressively for early retirement, and traveling. You just said all around the world. So how many countries would you say you visited in the last 4 years?
maybe like 10.
And different cities. Wow.
Like maybe 10 to 15. I was in Zanzibar. I went to Italy, went to France, just was in Spain, all over the world. I've tried to hit different parts, Ghana. Just all over. It's been a journey, because that's really what I pour my money into. And
I love that. You're really clear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're so clear on where you're spending your money. Because sometimes people are like, okay, I have this goal of wanting to travel. I'll use it as an example. And they'll be like, oh, it's so expensive. Every time I look at the tickets and the hotels, it's so expensive. I don't have the money. But then you look at their spending, and they're spending all this money on things that they don't really like, doesn't really matter to them. It's not that meaningful to them. Whereas if they just took, we're just a little bit more intentional and said, you know what, I'm going to stop spending money in these areas that are not giving me joy that much. I mean, you still have to pay your bills. Bills don't give anybody joy, but I'm going to stop spending my money in these areas. Like, you know, like hanging out with people you don't even like, spending $200 every weekend, going to like happy hour, and you don't even want to be around these people. And I'm going to put that money towards what I truly want to do, which is travel. And you will find ways to shift that money around if you're intentional. And that's one way in which money can bring you happiness, because you're shifting your money to what matters for you and your matters to you. And you're now able to leverage that money to pursue that thing that makes you happy. So you want to think about it that way. And you also really clarify and highlight it to us that it is possible to pursue a major goal like early retirement and still live a good life now with clear prioritization. You can pursue a goal like becoming debt-free in an accelerated fashion and still do things for yourself if you plan accordingly. I'm not a believer that you're just meant to pay bills and suffer and pay debt and suffer and punish yourself and eat ramen noodles and suffer. No, it's all about strategic planning. And I love the way that you have structured things. I was going to ask you to talk about the strategies that you're leveraging, but you talked about how you are saving 50 to 70% of your income, how you cut back on groceries, how you're paying your student loans. How specifically are you investing? Like, are you an individual stock girl, real estate, index funds? How are you investing your money?
Yeah, I'm an index funds girl. So basically I max out my health savings account. I max out my retirement account with my job, and I do that in target date funds. And then I invest, because I only live on like maybe 50% of my salary, I'm able to dedicate the other 50%. I automatically, every check I get, I automatically roll half of it into index funds every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's 50% of my salary, maxing out the retirement accounts that are available to me through my job. And then when I get my bonus, I usually do a half and half. I invest 50% of my bonus in index funds, and then the other half, I'm aggressively paying down my law school loans with the intention of being debt-free by 2025.
Mm-hmm. So question for you, I know for a lot of people listening, one big, I guess, hindrance from being able to save so aggressively or pay down so aggressively is the living expense, the housing expense specifically. Do you live alone? I'm not sure if I heard you say that.
Yes, I live alone.
How do you manage that in New York City?
Honestly, I live in Queens. I live in a studio. Like a lot of people on my salary, they live in one bedrooms, they live in two bedrooms, and they make one an office. I've lived in the same studio for the last 5 years. And then I told you about that discount that I got for 2 years. I was paying unheard of rent in one of the prime neighborhoods in Queens. So it's really about minimizing my footprint through my rental space. It's a studio. Some people say, maybe get a one bedroom, you make enough money. I'm like, I'm going to stick to the studio. I've been here. I'm going to stay here until I'm finished paying off my law school loans. And then I'll see when I'm debt free what I want to do. But I picked the smallest studio in one of the best buildings in Queens, and I stayed here and I haven't moved since, and I don't plan on moving anytime soon.
Thanks for sharing that. So if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, I want to do what Norway is doing, but my housing is such a big expense, this is an idea. You do not need to live in the bigger or fancier place. You can live in a great neighborhood, but in a smaller place. You can live further away from the main city, right? So a lot happens in Manhattan, but you live in Queens. Is your job in Manhattan?
Yes.
Exactly. So you live further. You're not living in Manhattan. So that obviously saves you a significant amount of money. So you can live further away. You can have a roommate. You want to think about, get creative and think about ways that you can start minimizing that housing cost. I know it's tougher when you have a mortgage or you're tied into a lease, because those take longer to get out of, but getting a roommate, renting a room, in your home if you have a multi-room house, living further away than the main city, living in a smaller space, downgrading your housing size. Those are all things to explore. And it's not about, because I can hear someone saying, well, I have kids. Well, I need an office. I need this. This is not about forever. This is about just doing something temporarily so that you can accelerate you being able to achieve that goal of your savings or your debt payoff or your early retirement, whatever it is that you have, you're planning for yourself. This is just a way of you thinking creatively for a short period of time, a few years, to get creative to accelerate your goal.
Yes, I've had multiple friends in New York City, single women of color, who there's two markets in New York City. There's the market that they advertise to the wealthy and the market that they advertise to the tourists where rents are soaring, where it's $4,000, $5,000 for a bedroom. But if you're like a real New Yorker, there's another market where things are a little more affordable. you just have to go further out into Brooklyn, into Queens, into the Bronx, into Staten Island, into the non-glamorous neighborhoods.
To Jersey, to
Connecticut. Some people have gone to Connecticut. Some people have gone to Pennsylvania and then they commute into the city. But they have really taken advantage of decreasing their housing with like one bedrooms or studios or living further out. And I've had two friends, single women, who bought homes within the past year by themselves because they've actively taken advantage of making sure that they left a small rental footprint. I'm not saying it's easy. They also had student loans. The privilege was they did not have children. So I'm going to make a note of that. But if you look, even in the most expensive neighborhoods, if you're willing to take a chance and move further out or not be where everyone is, you can find some gems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, living further out, I used to live in New York City. I've commuted from Jersey to New York City when I was working full time. I've commuted from Philly to New York City. I did that for 6 months. And, you know, you get used to waking up early and then you have 2 hours on the bus or on the train. And you're like, oh my God, I could watch Netflix. I could work on my side hustle. I could work on my budget. Like there's, you're like, I have this 2 hours of time where I'm not behind the wheel where, you know, like I can do stuff. And that's what I did. I maximized my time. I watched a bunch of Netflix. I did work on the bus on my Philly to New York commute. I worked on my budget. You know, I caught up on my sleep. I did a lot of stuff. So you want to, you know, people come to New York and it's like, oh, it's so expensive. I can't afford it. But there's a sales pitch being given to you, just like what you said. You know, there's one for the tourists.
Yes,
there's one for the Manhattanites.
Yes,
there's always a way to catch you. But you want to, it's just putting your smart cap on, right? And be like, okay, I get this is what is trending online, but I'm going to explore. Outside, you know, Queens, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Staten Island, Jersey, Connecticut, and just see what my options are. So thank you for sharing that. So what have you found or at the beginning of getting into this journey of, okay, I want to pursue early retirement. What did you think was most challenging? Or what did you find most challenging?
To be honest, I didn't really find anything challenging because this was something that I've had with me since I was in my early 20s. So when I was in my early 20s, I was actually an English teacher. Mm-hmm. I did Teach for America. I lived in Philadelphia, West Philadelphia. I was an English teacher in North Philadelphia and West Philadelphia. And I graduated out of high school during the recession, 2009. And I came to Philly making $40,000 a year. I found an apartment. I was like, this is, and you know, I thought $40,000 was a lot of money because I had been a student making like, you know, $12 an hour, working 20 hours. So when I saw my salary, I was like, woohoo! And then I remember I called my stepfather and I was like, oh my God, I'm making $40,000 a year. It's going to be like $3,000 a month. He's like, have you heard about taxes? And I was like, I won't be making any money in Philadelphia. So I found three roommates. I got this really beautiful apartment in West Philly. And at the age of 20, I was paying $300 in rent. And I saved half my salary while making $40,000 in Philadelphia. So this is something that has always been ingrained in me. And the reason that I did that naturally was I had gone to school, I got a full scholarship, but I knew that once I left my mother's house, I was on my own. It wasn't the kind of situation where I could be like, Mom, I don't have money for rent. Can you please wire me $1,000?
I owe you nothing, is what my mom will say.
Exactly. So I was like, you're here in your big girl apartment in Philly, moved from New York under your mom's wing, you know, when you could have stayed home with her and grandma and like have them cook for you or whatever. So I was like, you need to save money because you cannot call your mother and be like, hey, I'm late on rent. Can you wire me $500? She'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. So I've been like this since my early 20s. And it was from fear because I was like, I really do not have anyone to call. Like, this is all on me. And I have to make sure that I save my money as a woman and make sure that I'm able to pay my bills because I really don't have anyone to help me. So that it's always been like this. It's not something new that I've done. I've done it on salary when I was making $40,000. I'm making six figures now. I've always done it. It's automatic for me. Mm-hmm.
And that's great, you know, and for anyone who's listening, who you haven't always been like that, maybe you... It's going to be hard for you to think about saving half your income because maybe there's lifestyle creep, right? Maybe you're used to living a certain level of life and it means cutting back, and it will be hard to do, but it is doable. Maybe the first couple of weeks, first couple of months when you have to say to your friends, no, can't make it to the trip, can't make it to the dinner, can't do the fancy things. Oh, you know what? I'm moving from here to here because I'm trying to save money. It will be hard, but I promise at the end of it, it'll be so, so, so worth it. $300 in rent, girl. Get the roommates.
Yep. I was on 48th and Pine, two roommates. All of us were teachers. We found a 3-bedroom and I was like, we're taking this. We were trying to choose between West Philly. We had gone to see this townhouse in South Philly and it was like, you know, 3 floors and it was $800 a month. And I was like, girls, I don't know if we can pull this with our salaries. So the next day I went to see the other one in West Philly. And I was like, this is the one we're taking, girls. Because I don't know, like, because the South Philly one was beautiful, was renovated, had like a deck. You know, like, if you're used to Philly, you know those homes in South Philly, they're beautiful. But just thinking about what we were making and what my stepfather said about the tax, I was like, let's just stay here. I know it's not as glamorous as what we just saw. But like, I was traveling all over the world as a teacher as well, because our rent was so low that I just thought that we should make that choice.
That's so awesome. So what kind of conversations do you have about your mom when you talk to her about this retirement planning?
Oh, we just
check in. Are you guys planning travel together? Are you checking in? What are you guys talking about?
I'm very organized. And one of the things that I will say about my mom that I really do appreciate is I know a lot of people have different relationships with their parents, but she fully trusts in me. And she's very, very, very open about her finances because especially I think in like Caribbean culture, money is a little taboo. You don't really talk about it, or there's some shame, or people just keep it to themselves. Yep. Or if you have money, you don't want anybody to know because you don't want people asking you for it. So you pretend you're broke. But we just have a really open relationship and we really talk about, she tells me every single thing. I have her login and passwords to all major bills. Like it's probably weird, but it's to keep each other accountable. And yeah, we goal set every single year. Like when I decided that I wanted to retire early and she said she may want to have the option to retire at like 62, 63, I was like, what debt do you have? And then we did the debt snowball. And then every year I was like, all right, let's pay this off. She paid off her car in 2022. 2023, I was like, let's get the nursing loan down. She paid off her nursing loan in 2023. And then this year, our goal setting is let's finish paying off the mortgage. We made sure my mom had originally lived in Brooklyn. We made the choice for her to move from Brooklyn to Florida. We found a retirement community and a very, very affordable home in 2021. It was under $200,000 because our plan was, this is not the time to grandstand. It's not the time to show off. Let's take advantage of this low interest rate, but let's buy something that we can pay off quickly before you retire. And we found that. And then that's the plan. So it's really specific goal setting. This is what we're going to do. And then every year we meet that goal. And it's been happening since 2022. And I'm just really proud of her because she's done an excellent job.
That's so good. I love that relationship you have with your mom. I have a similar one with my mom. I help her save. I help her pay bills and things like that. You know, and granted, not everybody has that relationship. But if you are seeking someone to just be that person for you, or you're that person for them, or just that check-in partner, because your mom sounds like you're each other's accountability partners. Think about who in your circle of influence is someone that you can rely on, that you can trust no matter what, that you can talk to about this journey, that will like be your hype person, that will like motivate you to achieve your goals, and you can do the same for them. And that can be your person, right? Or just step into the finance community, right? There's so many, like if you all these communities, Clever of Finance, Journey to Launch, so many communities online where you can meet people. I met Jamila online and we've become friends. I've known her for several years now. Like, you can meet people. It might be a little bit uncomfortable because you're stepping out of your comfort zone. There are events and stuff. You can meet people, connect with people, like-minded people, join communities online, and just have those people keep you accountable. And they surely will, because they're all pursuing similar goals. So Nolly, I want to ask you just a few more questions. What advice, knowing what you know now, with the progress you have made now, what advice would you give someone who is considering early retirement?
I would say to firstly, learn as much as you can. Look for credible podcasts, credible articles, credible books, credible IG personalities. And I will say to find someone that is on the same path as you to hold as your accountability partner. As I've gone further on this journey, I see that I've surrounded myself with people who are into saving, who maybe do not increase their lifestyles if they've made more money, who are not as extravagant, because it motivates me to be around like-minded people and to know that we're all working towards the same goal. So my biggest piece of advice is to find like-minded people, because when it's tough, or when you want to, you know, overspend, or when you don't want to meet your savings or investment goal, knowing that you have people around you that are doing the same exact thing and that are committed to making sure you're financially independent, or making sure that they've achieved financial freedom, which is really hard in this country, it's really good to have those kind of people around you.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Well, thank you so much for coming on to share your journey, your story, your mom's story as well. I would love for you to tell everyone before you go, what is your Clever Girl superpower?
My Clever Girl superpower is empathy. I saw that my mom wanted to have a comfortable retirement, but she was sort of confused about what she needed to do. And then I put myself in her shoes. I made a plan for her, and through love and through understanding what she wanted, we made a plan together so she could achieve the dreams that she wanted to in this country, which I think is very important because of all the sacrifices that she's made for me.
I love that. And then, are you tracking your progress online? Do you have any social media you want to share where people can keep in touch with you?
I don't have any social media. I track it. I have a really private little IG page. I really just like sharing my story on platforms that I like, but you know, I just keep it to myself between my friends and between my family. But I love coming on podcasts and talking about it because I'm very proud of what I'm doing.
That works, and I am so proud of what you're doing. So if you're trying to keep up and Nolly listen to this podcast again, hope to have you back in the future when you do hit that early retirement, which is coming up soon. So I'd love to have you back.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for sharing. This has been such a pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you've loved the episode, but you don't yet subscribe to the podcast, you can do that everywhere you listen to your podcast episodes. And head on over to iTunes and leave a review so other amazing women just like you can find this podcast as well. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll talk to you on the next episode.